I want to read three scriptures. First one is in Joshua and chapter 7. Joshua 7 and verse 24. That's page 289. Then Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver and the mantle and the bar of gold, and his sons and his daughters and his oxen and his asses and his sheep and his tents and all that he had, and they brought them up into the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, "How hast thou troubled us? Jehovah will trouble thee this day." And all Israel stoned him with stones, and they burned them with fire and stoned them with stones, and they raised over him a great heap of stones, which is there to this day. And Jehovah turned from the fierceness of his anger. Therefore, the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor to this day. And then in Hosea chapter 2, and that's page 1086. Hosea chapter 2, page 1086. And verse 14. Therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak to her heart. And I will give her her vineyards from thence and the valley of Achor for a door of hope. And she shall sing there as in the days of her youth and as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. And then finally, in the first epistle of Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1, that's page 1468. 1 Peter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from among the dead, to an incorruptible and undefiled and unfading inheritance reserved in the heavens for you, who are kept guarded by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. I want to say this evening a little about hope. There's different types of hope. There can be the vague idea, like, I hope it's going to be fine tomorrow, but you're not too bothered. And then there may be a more definite type of hope, where you really invest in what you're believing. You think something's going to come to pass. There's a third type of hope which only the Christian has, the believer in Jesus, because it's a living hope. And I'll tell you a little later on why it's called a living hope. But I started in this book of Joshua because someone sinned, as we all do. I need to say at the beginning of this gospel preaching, if you didn't realise it before, that you're a sinner, as am I. We've all sinned. But this is a record of a man who sinned very deliberately, and there was judgment upon it. It says, doesn't it, that Joshua said, that how hast thou troubled us this day? Dear friends, if you are a sinner and your sin is unforgiven and you haven't had to do with God, you are in trouble. Big trouble. This was final here for this man. Not much hope. And you know, there are people today who have no hope at all. We live in a world of false hopes. We live in a world of no hope. Maybe tonight you think there is no future. You can't trust anybody, and you can't trust anything. You think that you're at your beam ends. There is no hope. Many people, dear friends, and maybe you are one of them, have no hope at all. There's nothing to look forward to. There's no reason to get out of bed tomorrow morning because there's no future. Well, I can tell you from this book, and I can tell you from the man that's now living in glory, that there is hope for you, dear friend. But here, there's a grim scene, isn't it? There's death here. And that's interesting, isn't it? It says that the wages of sin, what, is death. That's why the cemeteries are full, isn't it? Because it's appointed for us once to die. I was reading a statistic, you know, 3/4 of services today are cremations rather than burials. 3/4. Because, you know, man doesn't want to face God, does he? He thinks he wants to end it all. He wants to think that there's no future. Well, I'm telling you, dear friend, that there is a future, even if you're cremated. Because God is God, and he knows everything, and he's powerful. And it says in my Bible that it's appointed to men once to die, and after that, the judgment. You can't escape it, dear friend. It says God has set a day, and that day will stand. You can't alter it. Hear this, man. It was a day of trouble. And maybe tonight, dear friend, as a sinner without a saviour, as a sinner with unforgiven sin in your heart, I can tell you, you've got trouble. But dear friends, if you are troubled about your sins, if you're troubled about where you stand, that's a good thing. The worst thing is if you don't care. And there are men and women and children that are going on glibly into an eternity without God, and they will face judgment. They are in trouble. But you know, why is the gospel going out? Because there's an opportunity tonight to turn that trouble into salvation. I read in Hosea, this is very lovely. Of course, this is speaking to Israel primarily. But it says here, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak to her heart. Dear friend, that's what God is doing in the gospel tonight. He's bringing you in. He's drawing you to the Saviour. He's saying, this is my beloved Son. Tonight, why you come into this room? Is it random? Are you here just by chance? No, because God is alluring you. He's bringing you to himself. He wants to deal with you. He wants to bless you. He wants to forgive you your sin. He wants to give you hope. And so this Valley of Achor that was once a place of trouble, through the gospel, is now a place of hope. And it's a door of hope. Some of us were hearing last week about the door. You know, the Apostle Paul, it was said to him, I've set before thee, it was the end of Revelation. I've set before thee an open door. And you know, the door is open tonight. The gospel door, and it's for you to come in, to go through that door. It's set before you, and God, as it were, is the language here in Hosea, is that you're being allured. He would draw you. Jesus said, didn't he, that if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. Have you ever felt the drawing power of Jesus? Your stony, cold heart, full of sin, headed for trouble, big trouble. Through the gospel, you know, God would allure you to himself. He would allure you to his beloved Son. Say, this is me, my beloved Son. And it becomes a door of hope. You can come in, you can walk in through that door. Jesus said, didn't he? I am the door. No one cometh to the Father but by me. There is only one way of salvation. We live in a world of multiplicity, don't we? It doesn't matter how you get to God. Oh, yes, it does. God's word says, there is no other name under heaven. We were singing just now about the lovely name of Jesus. Peter says that there's no other name under heaven which God has given whereby you might be must be saved. I wonder tonight, dear friend, if you've come in through that door. Door of hope. That's what the gospel does. It is able to change things. You might say, as you read in Joshua there, that that's final. That's it. But you know, while the gospel is still being preached, there is hope. They say, don't they, that while there's life, there's hope. Well, while you're still alive, you have a chance to have real hope in Jesus. You have that chance to come to him. You'd be allured to him. That would be my greatest prayer tonight, that you might be drawn to the Saviour. It says here, doesn't it? And speak to her heart. You know, I'm not speaking to your head tonight, dear friend. The Lord Jesus, God, is not speaking to your intellect. He's speaking to your heart. There's a little poem, isn't there? It says about the gospel that it's darkness to my intellect, but it's sunshine to my soul. I wonder tonight, dear friend, if it means anything to you. Are you drawn to the Saviour tonight? You think of the many in the Gospels that were drawn to the Saviour. Not the religious people. Not the intellectual. But the ones that were needy. The lame and the blind and the dumb and the deaf and the poor and the blind. What is your need tonight? Dear friend, the greatest need you will ever have is that your sins might be forgiven and that you might have peace with God and that you might have a hope. And that's why the gospel is being preached tonight, dear friends, that valley of trouble might be changed for you into a valley of hope. And it can only be one way. There's only one way for you to get hope, and that's through the person of the Lord Jesus. And that's why I read in Peter. I love this passage. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy. Dear friends, God is merciful, isn't he? Not infinite mercy. Because if it was infinite, then there'd be no need to preach a gospel. God will deal with sin. Sin will be judged. But at the present time, God has great mercy. And he's extending it to you and I and the gospel and saying, there is a means, there is a way that you can come back to me. There is a way that your sins can be forgiven. There is a way that you can come back to me, and there is a way that you can have a hope that the world cannot give. There's no hope like the hope of a Christian, a believer, someone who's put their trust in the Lord Jesus. So it says here, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Why do I have a hope tonight, dear friend? Because I know that my Saviour, who died for my sins, didn't stay in the tomb. He rose again the third day. You know, the devil himself has done everything throughout the history to discredit the resurrection of Jesus. Everything. He's thrown his old armoury at it. But it stands there as a blessed, glorious fact that Jesus is alive. My Saviour, and I trust yours, is alive. And that's why, dear friend, it's a living hope. Because we trust in someone who is alive again forevermore. I said before, we have different types of hopes. There is no hope like this hope, because it's in a man that can be trusted absolutely. And by a man who went into death, yes, he went into death, not in his own account. He went on a death. He went to death. He suffered and died on your account and mine. I was reading a book recently, giving the background to the crucifixion. And I don't propose to go into it, but it just brings home that what Jesus suffered. Of course, he suffered for sin. That's the main point. We will never know what he suffered as being judged of God himself. But even the physical sufferings of Jesus, you know, it's worth contemplating. Here was God himself, you know, and yet he became like one of us, sin apart, and he felt pain. And why did he go that way? Why would anyone choose to go that way? And again, the devil threw everything to stop Jesus going to the cross. He even used one of his own disciples. And the Lord had to be very straight with Peter, saying, "Get behind me, Satan," because he knew it was actually Satan that was opposing him, not Peter, really. Satan would have done everything to stop Jesus going to the cross. But thank God that Jesus was utterly focused on doing the will of God. And the will of God was that he should suffer and die for sinners like you and me. How wonderful that is, you know. And so it says, to an incorruptible and undefiled and unfading inheritance. That doesn't sound like anything the world offers, does it? Can you imagine? What a place. What an inheritance. Can't be touched by death, by Satan in his hordes. It says, reserved to you and for you in the heavens. I suppose the question is it reserved for you? Has it? Do you have that place reserved? Jesus said, didn't he, I go to prepare you a place. That where I am, and we already said that Jesus is alive, is where I am, you may be also. I wonder tonight, dear friend, if you've reserved your place. There's only one way of doing so. You can't buy that reservation with money. There were those in the Acts that tried to buy things with money, salvation with money. You can't buy your salvation. You can't earn it. You can't work for it because the cost is too high. The redemption, it says, of the soul is costly. Must be given up forever. You cannot buy your salvation. The cost is too great. But there is one who has paid it in full. Not partly, but in full. Dear friend, tonight, this wonderful Saviour is presented to you as the living hope. That valley that you might be in, and many, you know, tonight are in the deepest, darkest valley. They're weighed down with the burden of their sin. They think there's no way out. There's no escape. Maybe that's you. There's many like it. But the gospel is being preached because there's always hope for the sinner. That day of trouble, that valley of trouble can be turned into a door of hope. All you need to do is come to the Saviour. I would allure you. That's what he says. I'll draw you in. Tonight, dear friends, would you come to the Saviour? Oh, come to the Saviour. He's calling today. Yes, today. Tonight. This very minute is calling. All you need to do is trust him. Put your trust and faith in him. As we were saying this afternoon in the reading, it's not my amount of faith. Some people say, I have very little faith. No, that's not the point, is it? It's in whom the faith is. And it's in Jesus, the one who broke the tomb's power, has dealt with your sins and is now living and is soon coming again. It says here, kept guarded by the power of God through faith. You know, that's a wonderful thing to me, that once you put your trust in Jesus, you're secure. You know, yes, you might waver. You might even go off down a pathway that's not pleasing to God. But you know, because of the work of Christ, because of what Jesus has done, you're kept guarded in that way. You're safe for eternity. But it'd be much better if you enjoyed your salvation now, wouldn't it? And it's the point is, we don't just book a passage for heaven and it'll be right, all right when we die. You know, it's wonderful to enjoy what Jesus has done now and to have fellowship with him now and to enjoy his love now. Therefore, it will be revealed in the last time. It says that trials will come, but dear friend, you know, you can never be saved. It's lost. And once you're found, dear friend, you can never be lost. Jesus said that no one will pluck them out of my hand. And then he says, almost as a double assurance, that they won't be plucked out my Father's hand. So there's no way that you can be lost. But dear friends, if you've never come to Jesus, you're already lost. You are lost. But the gospel is going out that you might be found. You know, there was 100 sheep, you know, and there was just one that was lost. Maybe you are just that one. Just that one. Maybe you feel it. Maybe you don't feel it. Maybe you think I'm okay. If you've never repented of your sins and put your trust in Jesus, you are lost. But it's the lost ones that Jesus came to save. So, dear friends, I don't have much more to say. This door of hope, it is going to close. You know, and we read in the story of Noah, don't we, that there came a time after 120 years. That's a long time, isn't it? Maybe you've been coming to the preaching for a long time. But there comes a time when it says that Jehovah shut the door. Not the preacher, not the congregation, but Jehovah shut the door. Don't presume on God, dear friend, tonight. Have to do with the Lord Jesus as your Saviour now. How many times we've heard from this desk, now is the accepted time. Today, you're being offered hope tonight. Whatever your circumstances, it doesn't matter to God, whatever your circumstances are, how hopeless they may be. God, through the gospel, through the Lord Jesus, through the work of Calvary, what he did there, there is hope for you and me. That's the transforming power of the glad tidings. There is nothing in the world like it, and it's available to you and to me tonight. Well, tonight, if you feel the call, if you feel the enticement of Jesus, drawing him to yourself, then I'd say, respond. Just say, Lord, thank you. I want to be a believer. I want to put my trust in you, and he will hear you. He says of Jesus, that him that cometh to me, I will nowise cast out. No one is too bad or too good. Some people think they're too good, don't they? No one There is nobody that is that cannot be saved tonight. No one. But you need to make that turn. God has provided all that you need in this living hope. It says we've been born again to a living hope, and it's through Jesus. Only through him. Dear friend, come to him tonight. Be drawn to him. Put your trust in him. And you will go out of this room having a hope that you never had before. And it will show. People will see, you know, people have been converted. People can see that they're different. Their perspective has changed because they realize they've got a hope which is outside of this world. May it be yours tonight, for his name's sake.